Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
And I bet you can't guess what I'm thinking.
That if you travel to the sun and back and circle the moon three times, that you probably end up in Jupiter, but maybe Mars, but Venus, but definitely not on Earth.
Okay.
That's not what you're thinking?
Not exactly, no.
Darn, I was so close.
Yeah, you were. You're close. Yeah, sure.
Okay, then I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, let me give you the trivia question of the day.
Alrighty.
How did the Flamingo Casino get its name?
The bird.
The Flamingo Casino.
The Flamingo bird.
No.
It flew over the casino and he said, Flamingo!
No.
Oh, man.
No.
The dance?
No. Bugsy Siegel, who owned it, named his casino the Flamingo after the long legs of his showgirl girlfriend.
No, that's funny because he was so short. Anyways. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And a joke of a hint from jokesforus.com.
Joke for us? Okay.
Yeah. Man walks into a bar.
Uh-huh.
Notices a poker game at the far table.
My kind of guy.
Upon taking a closer look, he sees a dog sitting at the table.
Uh-oh.
This piques his curiosity, and he walks closer and sees the cards, and chips in front of the dog. Then the next hand is dealt, and cards are dealt to the dog. Then the dog acts in turn with all the other players, calling, raising, discarding, everything the other human players were doing. However, none of the other players seemed to pay any mind to the fact that they were playing with a dog. They just treated him like any other player. Finally, the man could not any longer hold his tongue, so between hands, he quietly said to one of the players,
I can't believe that dog is playing poker. He must be the smartest dog in the world.
The player smiled and said,
he isn't that smart. Every time he gets a good hand, he wags his tail.
You're not laughing, Joe.
Wait a minute. It's coming. I feel it coming.
Oh, my.
Oh, sorry. I knew that one.
Being
an old poker player and like one of the...
Oh, okay. So what's our theme?
Bugs?
Mm-mm.
We said Bugsy.
No. It's not dogs either.
Oh, no. I can't go there. Be quiet, Joe. I don't know. I mean, this sounds like a gambling thing to me.
Yep. You going to sing your song?
If I do?
Go ahead.
Spam, spam, spam.
Not that song. No.
Viva Las Vegas, baby.
Yep. Oh, you are such a pain in the neck sometimes.
Gotcha.
Oh.
So the day's theme is Las Vegas.
What's that?
I hear a musical interlude in the background.
Oh, no? Okay.
Hit a button and run out. It's going to blow!
Our producer's having a great time right now. Okay.
Well, anyways.
Anyway.
Curious sayings such as the words bingo from fryox.com.
Frixo.
Frixo, Fryox. Fritos. Anyways, the origins of the game known today as bingo can be found in 16th century Italy. A national lottery known as Le Gioco del Lotto di Italia was launched in 1530 and has been played every Saturday ever since.
In the late 1770s, the game was introduced to France, where it took a new form called le loto. The playing card that was used for this game had three horizontal rows and nine vertical columns of boxes. Within each horizontal row, there were five boxes containing numbers and four blanks, randomly arranged. Vertical columns might have the numbers from 1 to 10 in the first row, 11 to 20 in the second row, and so on, up to the last column of numbers, 81 to 90. No two lotto cards were the same.
Now, 90 number chips were placed in a cloth bag from which the lotto callers would draw them one by one. When the number of each chip was called out loud, players would cover the corresponding numbers on their card as they appeared. The first player to cover all five number boxes in one of the horizontal rows won the game and the prize money. Stakes were too high for common folk to participate, and initially at least, play was limited only to the very wealthy.
Meanwhile, a very different version of lotto was developed in Germany. During the 19th century, it was primarily a game for children, aimed at helping students learn math, such as multiplication tables. Variations were later created to help teach spelling and history, too. Such educational games are still marketed even today.
However, it was a variation of the French game that made it to Britain, where it became popular among the armed forces. Figures, during World War II, soldiers passed time in the barracks and trenches playing what they called housey-housey. Wow. Housey-housey. The original number tickets featured 9 columns and 3 lines with 5 numbers each, identical to the game that their French allies enjoyed.
No doubt U.S. troops were exposed to the game as well, but by the time it crossed the ocean in the 1920s, some changes had been made, not the least of which was a new layout of 5 rows and 5 columns. Only 75 numbers were used, and every box, except the central free space, contained a unique number. The game, which was played mainly at county fairs, was called Beano, because uncooked beans were used as markers to cover numbers on the cards when they were called. Just read it.
In 1929, a New York toy salesman named Edward Lowe happened to be at the carnival near Atlanta, Georgia, when a Beano session was being played. A player with a winning card mispronounced the game and excitedly shouted, "Bingo!" That gave Lowe the idea to rename it and market it as Bingo. Soon, Catholic churches adopted it as a social event for fundraising.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All because of a hill of beans.
Beans to bingo.
Yeah. Well, you know. Oh, I have a top 10 list.
Ta-da!
Yes. From top5.com.
Top 10 from top 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that must be have 18.
6.
Uh-huh. See, I was close.
These are the top 6 signs you were not winning.
Here, let me put my bean here. Number 6. Everyone, including your mother, has unfriended you on Facebook.
Number 5. Your sister wives have staked claims to Elijah for all days but February 30th and Lures Day.
Lures Day?
I have no idea.
The judges call you the tuneless William Hung.
Remember from American Idol?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember the song that he sang.
I don't know. Hot, hot? Hot? No. She bangs. She bangs.
Yeah, that's it. That was right. She bangs.
Number 3. The 12 other America's Next Top Model contestants take shelter under your bum. Not winning.
Not winning on that one. Your stats so far in the marathon. 4 miles, 9 cigarette breaks.
And the number 1 sign you are not winning.
Your dog humps his own leg. Oh. Speaking of police story.
Oh, my.
Oh, ow. Ow. I got to find out what that Lures Day is.
I mean, I don't know what
I'm
that
intrigued
is
now.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. I have another top 10 list that kind of goes with the winning top 10 list.
Winning.
Yes.
Okay.
The top 7 ways you beat them.
Ooh.
Yeah, these are kind of like analogies.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Number 7. You beat them like a Springer guest.
Number 6. You whooped them like, there it is.
Boom. Number 5, you spanked them like a million typewriter provided primates. You spanked them like a million
typewriter
provided primates.
Yeah. Number 4. Moving on. Number 4, you cleaned their clock like Big Ben in a Windex monsoon. I like that one.
You crushed them. Number 3, you crushed them like an empty Jive coffee can under the heels of Godzilla's bigger brother. He has a bigger brother.
I guess.
Ooh. Oh,
God, bigger.
China and Japan get wiped out.
That's right. Number 2, you wipe the floor with them like ShamWow guy on CrankWow.
But wait, there's more. And the number 1 way you beat them?
You kick the crap out of them like a Metamucil overdose.
Oh.
Right on the line there, wasn't that?
That's...
That was right on the line. Sorry, Dave. He's just smirking over there.
Boy, that was a slick one to get out of.
Uh-oh. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I found a Dumb Criminals about Las Vegas.
That surprises me not.
From dumbcriminals.com. This is a good one, too.
Alrighty. Las Vegas arrested a man for drunk driving who was completely silver, according to the smoking gun.
I don't mean he was emotionally silver, because frankly, I don't know what that means. Maybe it means he's a yuppie or feeling second best or something. I mean, he was painted from head to toe in silver paint and was arrested on Halloween night, so it must have been part of his costume. I'm guessing he came up with it after he got drunk.
Now, the worst part is that a news helicopter was in the area and captured his DUI sobriety test and subsequent arrest on video. Now, God bless you, news helicopters. You're the closest thing we'll ever have to God's eyes. If all he looked over were semi-explosions and car crashes.
This guy was silver.
Now, that brings up a trivia.
Okay.
Who was supposed to play in The Wizard of Oz? Mm-hmm. Who was supposed to be the original Tin Man?
Oh, I've heard this, but I can't remember.
And why didn't he do it? It was Buddy Ebsen.
Right.
And they had painted him with that silver iodine.
Buddy Ebsen was the Scarecrow.
No.
No? No?
Yeah. Buddy Ebsen was supposed to be the Scarecrow. Ray Bolger wanted it, so he said he'd be the
Scarecrow. Oh.
But then they painted him in that silver stuff, and he got sick.
Yes.
And he couldn't do it.
Oh.
Because they had painted him silver, but the silver was very toxic at the time. And
oh. Well, people are allergic to silver, too.
Yeah.
That's a highly allergy.
Yeah, they literally painted him top to bottom, and he was like, yeah, he almost suffocated, and then the chemicals in there almost reacted, and it's like a double dose of, we got you now.
Ooh, not
and,
good.
And that was before.
Before?
The Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, that might explain why he was on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Ooh.
Sorry. Watched that when I was a kid.
Oh, I watched that. Dougie. LMA.
Oh, my.
Let's go for some fast facts from LasVegas.com.
Yeah. When Paul Anka first played Vegas, he was too young to be allowed in the casino. In Nevada, it is mandatory that video slot machines pay a minimum. What? That was two thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. When Paul Anka first played in Vegas, he was too young to be allowed in the casino. Period.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, how did that work together here? I'm missing something. In Nevada, it is mandatory that video slot machines pay a minimum of 75% on average.
Hmm. Vegas Vic, the enormous neon cowboy that towers over Fremont Street, is the world's largest mechanical neon sign. I didn't know he had a name.
Neither did I.
Vegas Vic.
So what's the girl that's right down the street from him?
His girlfriend? Mrs. Vic?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Howard Hughes stayed at the Desert Inn for so long that he was asked to leave. So he just bought the hotel.
Camels were used as pack animals in Nevada as late as 1870.
I knew that, but that's very interesting. I mean, because, like, what happened to them afterwards? I mean, they just, like, seemed to have disappeared.
Yeah. Hmm.
Over 39.7 million people visited Las Vegas each year.
Hmm. And 17 of the 20 biggest hotels in the U.S. are in Las Vegas.
Yep. And I've been to most of them.
Have you?
Yes, I like Las Vegas. Vegas and me have good times together.
I have never been to Vegas, believe it or not. Been to Reno, not Vegas.
No, the world of difference. Reno's fun. Vegas is better.
So, mm-hmm. I have some just jokes from jokesforus.com.
.com.
Yeah.
Alrighty. What is the only way to keep your money from the casinos in Vegas?
When you get off the plane, walk into the propellers. Did you hear that Siegfried and Roy have their show coming back to Las Vegas again?
No.
Yeah, but they had to change the name.
Oh, no.
The new name is Siegfried and Chew Toy. It's almost not funny.
That is funny.
Almost.
A man comes home to find his wife packing her bags.
Where are you going?
Demands his surprise husband.
To Las Vegas. I found out there are men that will pay me $500 cash to do what I do for you for free.
The man pondered that thought for a moment and then began packing his bags.
What do you think you're doing? She screamed.
I'm going to Las Vegas with you. I want to see how you're going to live on $1,000 a year. Oh.
Think about that one for a minute, folks. And another smirk from Dave. This show is never going to go on air, I can just tell.
It's going to be like one of those bleep, 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 bleep. Two bored casino dealers are waiting at the craps table. A very attractive lady comes in and wants to bet $20,000 on a single roll of the dice. She says,
I hope you don't mind, but I feel much luckier when I'm bottomless.
And with that, she strips naked from the waist down and rolls the dice, yelling, Mama needs a new pair of pants. Oops.
She then begins jumping up and down and hugging each of the dealers. Yes, I win, I win.
With that, she picks up her money and clothes and quickly leaves. The dealers just stare at each other, dumbfounded. Finally, one of them asks, What did she roll anyways?
The other answers, I thought you were watching.
That's good.
That is good, isn't it?
Yes.
Don't try that at home, folks, no. Or Vegas.
No, because the cameras are always watching you in Vegas. A Texan, oh, this sounds like a bad joke. A Texan, a Californian, and a Nevada were out riding their horses. The Texan pulled out an expensive bottle of tequila, took a long draught, and then another, and then suddenly threw it in the air, pulled out his gun, and shot the bottle in midair.
The Californian looked at the Texan and said, What are you doing? That was a perfectly good bottle of whiskey.
The Texan replied, In Texas, there's plenty of whiskey and bottles are cheap.
A while later, not wanting to be outdone, the Californian pulled out a bottle of wine, took a few sips, threw the half-full champagne bottle into the air, pulled out his gun, and shot it in midair.
Now, the Nevadan couldn't believe this and said, What the heck did you do that for? That was an expensive bottle of wine.
The Californian replied, In California, there's plenty of wine and bottles are cheap.
A while later, the Nevadan pulled out a bottle of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. He opened it, took a sip, took another sip, then chugged the rest. He then put the bottle back in the saddle gun, pulled it out his gun, turned and shot to California.
The shocked Texan said, Why the heck did you do that?
The Nevadian replied, Well, in Nevada, we have plenty of Californians and bottles are worth a nickel.
Ow.
But I do like it.
I do. That's a good joke. We have some one-liners, because I know how much you love one-liners.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Viva Las Vegas. Anyways.
What did the dealer say to the deck of cards?
I can't deal with you anymore.
What do craps dealers eat for dessert?
Dice pudding. No.
Oh, what's the difference between prayer in church and prayer in a casino?
Ooh, in the casino, you really mean it.
How can you tell if a poker player is bluffing?
Oh, his chips are moving. When is the only time you split tens in blackjack?
When the table is full and your buddies need a seat. The table's full and your buddies need a seat. Okay.
Girls.
Yeah.
Girls. What kind of shark is always gambling?
A card shark.
And every six-year-old out there going, ah, that's funny. Why isn't gambling allowed in Africa?
Because of all the cheetahs. Oh, I didn't say they were good jokes, just that they were one-liners.
No, you're supposed to say these are cheesy jokes.
Cheesy jokes.
From Chester. You know Chester, don't you?
No.
Chester's the cheetah that represents freedom.
Oh, Cheetos.
Cheetos.
Oh, okay.
How were Adam and Eve prevented from gambling?
Because their paradise was taken away from them. Oh, what does a blackjack player eat for dinner?
Whatever it comes. True. Whatever's comp card allows him to.
Something at the buffet. Right?
Yeah.
What's...
That's a lot of... Never mind.
What's the difference between poker players and politicians?
No, that's wrong. No, politicians don't tell the truth, so I'm sorry. I can't.
What's the difference between online poker and live poker?
You can cry after a bad beat online and no one will laugh at you. Ooh.
What's the difference between a poker player and a dog?
In about 10 years, the dog quits whining. Now that's good.
And what did a blonde from England bring? Why did a blonde from England bring a bag of French fries to a poker game?
Because somebody told her to bring her own chips.
And what do vampires play poker for?
High stakes. That's bad.
I know. And finally, how do you get a professional poker player off your front porch?
Ooh, pay him for the pizza.
Oh, my.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
That's okay. I got a couple quotes here.
Okay.
I don't know who said them, but I have quotes. If you're playing a poker game and you look around the table and can't tell who the sucker is, it's you.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. And that's why they also call you Guppy. Last night I stayed up late playing poker with tarot cards. I got a full house and four people died.
Ooh. Oh, and this is from Stephen Wright. Poker is like sex. Everyone thinks they're the best, but most people don't have a clue what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. When a man and money meets a man with experience, a man with experience leaves with money, and a man with the money leaves with experience.
So true.
Yeah, could be, yes.
So, a man rushes into his house and yells to his wife.
Oh, man, Martha, pack up your things. I just won $1 million slot machine jackpot.
Martha replies, shall I pack for warm weather or cold?
Man responds, I don't care, just so long as you're out of the house by noon.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
Ooh. There once was a woman who plays poker once a month with a group of female coworkers who was concerned that she would always wake her husband when she came home around 1 a.m. One night she decided to try not to wake him. She undressed in the living room, put her purse over her shoulder, and tiptoed nude into the bedroom, but was surprised to find her husband sitting up in bed and reading.
Damn it, woman, he exclaimed. Did you lose everything?
Okay, trivia now.
Okay.
You ever hear this thing, you know, as long as you have a chip and a chair, you can win in playing poker?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That conversation came because way back in the beginning of the World Series of Poker, there was an extraordinarily good poker player by the name of Stu Unger.
Mm-hmm.
Unger won, I think, two or three different tournaments. In one particular tournament, he had pushed all his chips in and lost and was getting up to leave. And they said, no, Stu, there's still a chip in the rail. It got stuck in the rail.
Uh-huh.
So he had a chip and a chair. All right, so he played the next hand, threw his chip in. Before the night was out, he had won the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is how the term a chip in a chair.
That's
cool. It's true. I mean, that's the cool thing about that one.
Huh, interesting. So, a weekly rant from crack.com.
All righty.
I really like this one.
Okay.
This is kind of like the Hangover, except for PG audience or G audience. 7 Simple Steps to a Terrifying Night in Vegas.
Uh-oh.
By Anthony Laser.
When I recently contracted 2 old buddies who live in Los Angeles to tell them I was coming to town, we made the completely irrational decision to relive old lives and times by spending an evening in Las Vegas.
The following is a point-by-point breakdown of how that evening became a nightmarish ordeal, far more troubling than the events depicted in Ashton Kutcher's film What Happens in Vegas. If you're planning on visiting this viper's nest sometime in the future, please take note.
So number 7, travel fatigue. Months prior to the Vegas trip, I proposed a deeply idiotic plan. Rather than book a hotel room, my friends and I would simply fly from Burbank to to Las Vegas in the evening and fly back early in the next morning. The only hitch to this bad plan, yet thrifty jaunt, was that my 5-hour flight from Philly to L.A. would occupy prior to our flight from Burbank to to Vegas. That meant that for a 3-hour time difference, my internal clock read approximately 1 a.m. when I sat down with my friends. And let's just call them Klaus and Henrik, for dinner at the sushi restaurant and Hard Rock Cafe. The time issue never occurred to me while making my itinerary, mostly because I am bad at math.
My miscalculation? As I stared into my raw fish with blurry eyes, already awake for more than 16 hours, I was beginning to feel the sensation of being a long-haul trucker. There was only open road as far as the eye could see. Klaus and Henrik looked at me and snickered, dude, you are messed up.
How could I have avoided this? Well, I should have chosen an in-flight nap over the complimentary presentation of Babylon AD. I definitely got the short end of that trade-off.
Number 6. Unfortunately, I have done this. Drinking caffeine and alcohol concoctions.
Mm-hmm.
After having some post-dinner sake bombs, we moved to the Hard Rock Casino's floor for craps. The game makes as much sense to me as a nuclear reactor schematic, so I decided to use my time to slowly lose money on the pass no pass line while ordering as many Jacks and Cokes as they'd bring me. Three was great. The fourth felt innocuous. It was time for the vile grog that is Red Bull and vodka.
Now, my miscalculation. Not even 2 hours in, I was desperately chugging caffeine as if it were some sort of miracle elixir. Meanwhile, it never crossed my mind that cola or Red Bull might be available without 80-proof liquor.
Number five, gambling. Around midnight, I was beginning to get my second wind, all but an artificial wind created by a cocktail-fueled internal turbine. At the same time, Heinrich had gone on a tear with the dice. A crowd had formed around the craps table, cheering him on. Klaus and I kept glancing at one another, confused by the changing shape and color of his stack of chips. We'd almost never seen one expand.
Now, my miscalculation. Throughout our craps run, the cocktail waitress knew exactly where the three of us were on the casino floor due to our consistent tipping rate and refusal to turn down service. This, combined with the spoils of victory, destroyed any notion of pacing. We were all riding high, but by the time that Heinrich cooled off, it was only I who had displaced the motor skills of a toddler. My drunk but well-rested friends observed this and promptly announced it was time to go to the dance club.
How I could have avoided this. Next time I will play slot machines from time to time. There's nothing more sobering than gambling on a piece of equipment that essentially operates like a broken vending machine, while surrounded by compulsive slot jockeys who are cautionary tales personified.
Number four, the Prowling Club Cougars. The next stop was a club called Tao, where Henrik and I lost Klaus in a soup of strobe lights and vibrating bass. Eventually, he
bass.
Was...
vibrating bass. That's only when you go fishing. Bass. Bass and bass are spelled the same, honey.
So I did not pronounce it incorrectly. I like vibrating bass. Anyways.
Okay. It sounds fishy. Oh.
Eventually, we spotted gyrating on a catwalk between two go-go dancers. He waved us over. With no discretion left in my being, I promptly climbed up on the perch and joined him. Giant orc-like bouncers soon converged. They ordered Klaus and I down and told us this would be our last warning. As soon as they left, a small group of 40 or 50-year-old women approached. They were made us over as though they had just posed for glamour shots at the mall.
Oh, and how I could have avoided this. Despite what Cougar Town may lead you to believe, in the real world, flirting with a cougar usually involves accusations of not knowing what the word regret really means.
Oh, my. Bad.
Bad. We have another top 10 list.
Dun, da, da, da.
That we're going to do really quickly.
Okay.
The top 8 signs that the dude with the lemur is cheating at poker.
Number 8, you don't know much sign language, but you recognize 6S6D when the lemur flashes it over from your shoulder.
7, you're bluffing and smelling of your fear. The lemur gives you a teeth-baring grimace and pushes all the dude's chips in.
The lizard up the lemur's sleeve has got an ace in his mouth. Ooh.
5, it rides the ceiling fan for a while, then comes down and looks like it whispers in his ear, then goes all in and wins.
The front legs are leaning over my shoulder while the rear legs are bar hitting on the waitress.
3, all those guys with the tarsiers are losing their shorts.
Number 2, he just flopped Baba Godas full of saffricus.
And the number 1 sign that dude with the lemur is cheating at poker.
His straight flush includes what appears to be an orange-eyed red-tailed jack.
Oh, goodness. So, we have an Irish blessing.
Aye.
Very good, Dave. Very good. Hoping to recoup is what ruins the card player. That's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we're...
On a roll, baby.
No, together we're... Cat soup. The best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week, folks. It's the daytime if you see it once. You'll never be the same again.